who had roamed the mountains and claimed the land, to the last of Jack's three wives, and the only one who died before he could divorce her. Wasn't it interesting, Bob mused, that each of Mercy's wives had presented him with a daughter when he'd been hell-bent on having a son? Bob liked to think of it as God's little joke on a man who had stepped on backs and hearts to get what he wanted in every other area of his life. He remembered each of Jack's wives well enough, though none of them had lasted long. Lookers, every one, he thought now, and the girls they'd birthed weren't hard on the eyes either. Beth Ann had been burning up the phone lines ever since word came along that Mercy's two oldest daughters were flying in for the funeral. Neither of them had set foot on Mercy land since before they could walk. And they wouldn't have been welcome. Only Willa had stayed. There'd been little Mercy could do about that, seeing as how her mother had died almost before the child had been weaned. Without any relations to dump the girl on, he'd passed the baby along to his housekeeper, and Bess had raised the girl as best she could. Each of the women had a touch of Jack in her, Bob noted, scanning them from under the brim of his hat. The dark hair, the sharp chin. You could tell they were sisters, all right, even though they'd never set eyes on each other before. Time would tell how they would deal together, and time would tell if Willa had enough of Jack Mercy in her to run a ranch of 25,000 acres. She was thinking of the ranch and the work that needed to be done. The morning was bright and clear, with the hills sporting color so bold and beautiful it almost hurt the eyes. The mountains and valley might have been painted fancy for fall, but the Chinook wind had come in hot and dry and thick. Early October was warm enough for shirt sleeves, but that could change tomorrow. There'd already been snow in the high country, and she could see it, dribbling along the black and gray peaks, slyly coating the forests. Cattle needed to be rounded up, fences needed to be checked, repaired, checked again. Winter wheat had to be planted. It was up to her now. It was all up to her. Jack Mercy was no longer Mercy Ranch, Willa reminded herself. She was. She listened to the preacher speak of everlasting life, of forgiveness and the welcome of heaven, and thought that Jack Mercy would spit on anyone's welcome into a place other than his own. Montana had been his, this wide country of mountain and meadow, of eagle and wolf. Her father would be as miserable in heaven as he would in hell. Her face remained calm as the fancy coffin was lowered into the newest scar in the earth. Her skin was pale gold, a legacy from her mother and her Blackfoot blood as much as the sun. Her eyes, nearly as black as the hair she'd hurriedly twisted into a braid for the funeral, remained fixed on the box that held her father's body. She hadn't worn a hat, and the sun beamed like fire into her eyes, but she didn't let them tear. She had a proud face, high cheekbones, a wide, haughty mouth, dark, exotic eyes with heavy lids and thick lashes. She'd broken her nose falling off an angry wild Mustang when she was 8. Willa liked to think the slight left turn it took in the center of her face added character. Character meant a great deal more to Willa Mercy than beauty. Men didn't respect beauty, she knew. They used it. She stood very still, the wind picking up strands from her braid and teasing them into a dance. A woman of average height and tough, rangy build, in an ill-fitting black dress and dainty black heels that had never been out of their box before that morning. A woman of 24 with work on her mind and a raging, tearing grief in her heart. She had, despite everything, loved Jack Mercy. And she said nothing, not one word, to the two women, the strangers who shared her blood and had come to see their father buried. For a moment, just one moment, she let her gaze shift, let it rest on the grave of Mary Wolfchild Mercy. The mother she couldn't remember was buried under a soft mound of wildflowers that bloomed like jewels in the autumn sun. Adam's doing, she thought, and looked up and into the eyes of her half-brother. He would know, as no one else could, that she had tears in her heart she could never let free. When Adam took her hand, Willa linked fingers with his. In her mind and heart, he was all the family she had now.
He lived the life that